Jesus. That was kind of loud.
Volume was up. My bad.
Yeah, it was.
Before we get started, let's go over some business. Facebook, like it, share it, comment. Twitter handle is?
At Comes Natural Pod.
You can follow us on there. You can tweet at us on there. Mike will follow you back and maybe tweet back at you bad things about the Suns. Then head over to iTunes where you can rate, review, subscribe, where you get the show every Wednesday and Friday when they come out. Then head over to blogtalkradio.com/comesnaturally. You can download it directly from there. You can stream it from the website. You can use this RSS feed for those non-iTunes users out there. And that's all the business. Comes Naturally, we are.
Joe.
Hey, I'm Cody. You notice there's no mic there.
Nope.
Because he's not here today. It's just the two of us.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Son of a biscuit. So obviously, we're going to talk about Thor.
A little bit.
For a wee bit. And we got some other nonsense to talk about, too. Both of us have now seen it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's relevant. Not going to ruin anything for Joe, at least.
Nope.
So, we will do this. Overall thoughts, Joe, and your three favorite scenes.
Ooh, three favorite scenes.
Yeah.
I should always become prepared for that.
You should, because it's the same question I ask about every movie.
About every movie, and yet I don't prepare for it at all.
No.
Overall impressions. I like the movie.
Okay.
Is it my favorite Thor movie? No.
Okay.
I kind of take the Indiana Jones approach to this trilogy. Where
Two's best?
No. That's if I would have seen two first and then went and saw the other movies. That doesn't work like that. If you see the first movie, it's the best movie.
Yep.
This technically would be the second best movie. Well, even though I didn't think that The Dark World wasn't good or wasn't bad, it's
still... Some people hate that fucking movie.
Exactly, and I don't understand the hate for it.
I don't either.
But this movie, I know I've said before, like, my fears of this movie going into it is that knowing that they were trying to go for a Guardians of the Galaxy vibe, that it'd be two Guardians of the Galaxy and not enough of the Thor that I liked from the first movie. And it kind of does that. There are parts where you can definitely tell that they are trying to be jokey and whatnot with the things that are said or done. And it just falls flat for me. Like, I could hear the rest of the audience laughing, but it just completely ruins the scene for me, at least. But there are other times that it absolutely works. One scene that comes to mind is right there at the end where, spoiler, by the way, probably for this whole entire podcast.
Yeah, they're going to do a lot of that.
What's the rock guy's name?
Korg.
And his weird friend thing.
Yeah, I was going to look up his name. I couldn't remember what it was.
Yeah, anyway.
The purple cockroach guy.
Yeah. And so he's holding him in his arm. And throughout the whole entire movie, the purple cockroach thing is in like a biomechanical suit, which was actually pretty cool because it had like, you know, cha-cha swords on it.
Cha-cha swords. That's how you know.
Yeah. That's how you know that they're fucking real. It's like, cha-cha.
Yep. If they didn't want real, it was like, yeah, just swords.
No, then it's something else. Like, yep. Ka-cha. Anyway, so he's in his arms, and Thor's like, you know, with the rest of his people on this ship, and they're like, you know, where should we go? Hey, Korg, you know, do you have any suggestions? Where, you know, where are you from, and where's your friend from? And he goes, oh, he's dead.
Yeah, don't worry about him. He's dead.
Don't worry about him.
I stepped on him on the bridge.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, wait, what? What? And then he suddenly comes back to life, and he's like, oh, no, he's alive. And, like, the whole entire audience starts laughing, and I think even Mike was laughing, and I'm just like, that was fucking stupid. What the fuck? That was dumb. Another scene that comes to mind is Banner's about to make the big reveal to the Valkyrie chick that he's the Hulk. And, you know, he's making this big old speech into, you know, whatever it was. And he's going to drop out of that plane that they're in and take on the giant wolf. And I'm like, this is leading up to going to be a fucking badass fight. And he jumps out and just
Faceplants
right into the bridge, and I'm like, everybody's laughing, but I'm like, that's
what it ruined an epic moment.
Ruined an epic moment. Yeah, that was fucking stupid. Granted, the wolf looks at him, steps over him, and keeps going after the rest of the Asgardians, and then, you know, obviously the Hulk's out, Banner Hulk's out, and
grabs him by the tail.
Grabs him by the tail, starts dragging him back, and then a semi-epic battle ensues. Because I say semi-epic just because what you see is epic, but then it cuts back to other stuff that's going on at the exact same time, which I understand, and you just don't see the rest of the fight. You see parts of it. It'll cut back and forth, and you'll see, you know, this and that. I just would have wanted to have seen it happen more with the rest of the fight instead of happening underwater. And there, so beyond that, there are other scenes. Like, I know Mike likes the scene where Loki is projecting himself into the prison cell that Thor's in.
Yeah, and then Korg runs over.
Die, it's ghost. Like, die, ghost. It just kills it for me. Like, that wasn't good humor to me.
Gotcha.
Obviously, other people laughed at it, but it just wasn't, to me, it just fell flat, and it ruined the feel of scenes. Now, on the flip side, some of the better humor was when you had Thor in the same room as Hulk after the fight had happened.
Yeah, that in Hulk's little room.
First off, it's funny because the Hulk has a room.
Yeah.
It's funny because of that. And his bed is literally a giant fucking skull.
Yep.
And there's the scene where he's throwing that ball up against the wall.
Like a little kid would.
Like a little kid would. And you're like, that's funny. That's humorous to me.
What about the hot tubs? The hot tub.
The hot tub scene. That was funny to me because that's something that's like everybody's thought of. Like, he's probably got a big giant dick, you know?
And obviously does. And obviously Thor does away.
Because Thor's like, oh, you're naked. Yeah. That can't be unseen.
Yeah.
You know, that was hilarious to me. But then you have when Thor goes to break out and throws the ball against the glass, expecting it to crack, and it hits him in the head going backwards. I'm like, nah, you just kind of fucking ruined it.
It's one of those slapstick moments.
It's slapstick, but it just seemed like there was so much of that in this movie, and it would just take away from scenes. That one not so bad as as Banner hitting the bridge, but it still kind of bothered me a little bit. Let's see what else was there.
Let's go back to my question. Your three favorite scenes.
I think my favorite scene of all was with Doctor Strange.
Yeah. The whole thing, the whole thing with Strange was amazing, yes.
And I wanted more of that. And when you see him in the trailers, I thought he might be in more of the movie.
Yeah.
But he wasn't. Okay, whatever. Beyond that, in no particular order for the last two, the arena scene, the extended arena scene,
yeah,
was really fun, just because you finally got to see the Hulk and Thor just kind of let loose on each other,
yeah,
and almost kill each other, really.
Yeah, and I like that part because you have the crowd who's like completely behind Hulk.
It's a Rocky moment,
and then he hits him with the hammer, and he flies up against the wall, and they're just like,
yeah.
Wait, what? What happened?
And then slowly start chanting, Lord of Thunder.
Yeah.
It's God. God of Thunder.
Yeah. Yeah, that part made me laugh a lot. Yeah, and it's just a brutal fucking just
fight. Knockout, drag out fight. Literally drag out because literally. And Loki stands up at that point in time when Thor gets, you know, puny god smashed. He's like, that's what it feels like.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
That was really fun. That was funny
yeah. to me. Yeah. And let's see. Third one. That one's going to be a little bit of a tough one. I'd almost have to say any scene with Jeff Goldblum. Like,
yeah.
The character, his character was. Well, it was perfectly him. Like, yeah, I think,
of course.
What was the comment I think Mike made earlier, which was...
People are just writing roles for Jeff Goldblum to be Jeff Goldblum.
Exactly, yep. Yeah.
I mean, play to his strengths.
There was some weirdness, like, because he starts playing, like, DJing himself. DJ thing. His so hilarious. Interest. Like, it was a little weird.
Yeah.
But...
Well, because the whole society is based around him.
It is.
Because he was the first found.
Yeah.
And, like, so he basically builds up the whole thing as him. So, like, everybody does what he wants. And it's, like, the whole DJ thing was just so, like, I was just, like, this is awkwardly funny because he's doing DJ and, like, Thor and Loki are trying to have this conversation. And I like that scene, the way that plays out.
Yeah.
Is you see the blur, like,
you see blur the background of him,
and you can see Loki. You clearly see. Yeah. It's just enough out of focus where you can't see him, but you can tell it's him.
Yeah.
And you're like, dude, if he just,
Thor, in my mind, just
turn your head a little exactly. more. Look straight ahead and a little more to your right.
Keep going. It's get.
Yeah. You'll see it. And then he finally sees him and he's like, oh, and he's like, I've been here for 5 weeks. And you're like, 5 weeks, motherfucker? I just saw you like literally a minute ago.
Yeah.
But what do you think of the chair scene with the Willy Wonka song?
Oh, that was creepy.
Well, my favorite part of that is that he starts to scream and just cuts and he's like right there in the room and you can tell he was never moving. I was like, yeah. That was fantastic.
It was pretty
I was like, you guys did such a good job with that because you thought it was like one of those things where like he's being transported from where he was mm-hmm. and you realize he was, but it was like probably they just walked him 2 feet.
Yeah.
But like it was just showing him all that. I was like, fantastic. And of course it plays the
music. It was, you know? Yeah, it was the music is what that got me. It was very subtle, but you could definitely hear it there. And I'm like, oh my God, this is. And it put me right in that mindset of the Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, yep. Where they're the boat scene. And yep. I'm like, oh my God. And it really did. Like the color started getting more red.
And then it started to speed up.
Just, yeah. And the images started coming faster. And
so funny.
Started getting a little bit more creepier as, you know, they started explaining more about the gladiators and yep. whatnot. I was like, well, that was kind of funny and fantastic at the same time. Yeah.
Yeah, it made me laugh a lot. The best part is he's screaming and it cuts, and we get to see everyone standing around him. He's screaming, and not for a long time. He's like, and I was like, oh, so well done.
But
like,
they're yeah,
because you're like we're like, what's gonna happen? Like he's gonna like be like launched out into something, and it's like no, he's just sitting in a chair.
Yep, right in front of everybody.
Fucking fantastic.
Yeah. But yeah, the Jeff Goldblum's character is just so Jeff Goldblum, and he just hits all of his lines and has his own like funny moments, you know, with the whatever his bodyguard was.
Oh yeah, oh God damn it, what's her name? Keep going, I'm thinking of it.
But so they roll up right there where he's strapped into that chair still, and they roll him up next to who did they say it was?
That was his partner.
His business partner, yeah. Okay. And, you know, she hits him with the melty stick, and they're just like, oh,
it's I'm on my standing shoes. In it, yeah.
I'm standing in it.
It's so like, fucking funny.
Or the other scene with the melty stick where, who was it? I think it's...
She hands it to him, and it's Loki in Valkyrie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, why do I want, why melty I want stick?
This melty stick? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Topaz. Topaz is her name.
Topaz?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah,
those are my three favorite scenes, I would say. The ones that I can absolutely remember right now. It's definitely a movie that I could watch again.
Yeah,
definitely,
for sure.
And catch all the other little funny things.
Yeah.
Because I did like the part where, I mean, speaking of stuff that I thought was funny as well, and I'm sure you did as well, the scene where Thor finally makes it into that ship that Hulk flew off of.
Yes, the Quinjet.
The Quinjet, yeah. Which, by the way, I totally completely fucking forgot about.
Everyone says, like, they're like, why did he have a Quinjet? I'm like, motherfucker. Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
He throws Ultron's ass out of it.
Yeah.
Sits down and flies the Quinjet away, hits the cloak, and that's when you get the message from Black Widow saying, hey, we can't track you with the cloak on, blah, blah, blah. I'm like...
As soon as she said that, I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. He hit the cloak, and he just wanted to go hide for whatever. But Thor's trying to activate it, and he's saying, you know, Thor, the God of Thunder.
Strongest Avenger.
Strongest Avenger. What's the name of the movie? I can't remember it.
Point Break.
Point Break. And it fucking activates. And it's like, oh my fucking God, that was fucking hilarious.
He's,
that,
like, cause, he's like,
God damn it, Tony.
Yep.
Oh, or man. Damn it, Tony, or whatever it was.
So funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, Banner comes up,
and, you know, Banner, and it says, Banner, the strongest Avenger.
Yep. He's like, wait, what? Yeah, it made me laugh a lot.
But their interaction as well was a
their buddy good, cop thing
was fantastic.
Both in and out of Hulk and Banner. Exactly, yeah. So goddamn fantastic.
Yeah.
Because you have one where Thor's trying to be the macho man to Hulk, and then you have the buddy side of him trying to be buddy and chummy with Banner.
But the scene where they're, you know, just before they're looking for disguises, quote unquote,
yeah,
and Thor goes, "Oh, we got into a fight," and he goes, "Well, who won?" And Banner goes, "Who won?" And Thor goes, "Well, I did." And Banner goes, "Well, that doesn't sound right."
Yeah,
it was funny.
Yeah, it was really well. Like, it's just these super well timed, not jokes. You know what I mean? Like, they're punchlines, but they're not like
yeah.
Like, oh, here's the joke, here's the punchline. It's just these funny little lines that just play really well.
And that leads into the one where Thor's like, well, I need a disguise. And Banner's like, well, I need one too. And it's like, well, no, you are a disguise. Yeah. So going back to what I said initially, is like the movie was funny. Like, those were the funny parts. It's
smart stuff, yeah.
Smart stuff. It's just the other shit that just ruined scenes to me.
The slapstick stuff
that, you know, may have worked in Guardians because that was Guardians, but it doesn't work here. Anyway.
I get you.
What's your same questions?
So I actually really liked it a lot. I laughed a lot of the slapsticky stuff just because I think that's hilarious. And I think I found it funny for a different reason, because it is different than what you see those characters doing. Like, to your point, Guardians, that is their thing. That's the type of thing. And it's not like slip on a banana peel, but it is. But that's what you expect out of the Guardians. Mm-hmm. What I found funny is those moments where they did have those, because it's different than you saw those. I mean, like, I get your point, like him landing on the bridge. I thought it would have been epic for him to fucking land as Hulk, like big old foot, like footprints, like breaking into the bridge.
In front of the wolf.
And the wolf's like, you know, like, what the fuck is this thing?
Yeah.
And like him just like socking the wolf in the face, like slow mo punch. Like, he, like,
it had the chance of recreating that scene from the Avengers
where he punches the dragon thing. Where he
says, you know, the secret is I'm always angry, and just turns and slow turns into Hulk and just fucking punches that giant thing. It had that chance right there to do that again and just.
Yeah. So, I mean, I get your point. I laughed because I thought it was really funny that he's like trying to be all showing off. He's like, yo, cute girl, I'm gonna show off, right? And then just face plants. I was like, well, first off, that's all right. That's it's stupid funny is what it ends up being.
Yeah.
But I thought it was funny. So I liked the movie a lot. I think it's one of my favorite Marvel movies that they've made.
Wow.
Yeah. Just because what people don't realize is the whole tone of the movie and the, like, yes, there's jokes going on, the whole thing's just super dark.
It is.
It's all around death.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all of Thor's world is being torn down around him. His dad dies.
Mm-hmm.
His what he thought his brother
was dead.
Was dead, and he was doing all these things to you know, be better because of that sacrifice that Loki made. Turns out that, like, Loki is actually the cause of a lot of it.
Of course.
Technically the one that led to Odin's death,
mm-hmm.
because he displace him on Earth, and as we know, when you're on Earth, you become mortal. You mm-hmm. slowly become mortal because of how old he is. It's going to happen faster, so he ends up dying, which then frees Hela, you know, the whole thing. So, mm-hmm. spoilers, by the way. If you haven't seen it, go fuck yourself.
Right.
We gave you a fucking week. And so, like, that's it. But then, like, you see all his friends get slaughtered.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't get to see his friends get slaughtered. That's, like, one of the, like, worst things about it. Like, he doesn't have a chance to even help protect them or anything.
Anybody tell him that? I mean, like,
eventually he's going to find out they're all fucking dead.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, he doesn't see any of their bodies. Like, none of it.
Mm-mm.
What I thought was a miss on that, and we were talking about a little bit, like, I think they fucked up. Remind me, I don't know why this popped in my head. Before I forget. Because I will. I have Assassin's Creed pins for you.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why that popped in my head right now. They're in my backpack.
Gotcha.
I grabbed them today for you. But the miss... There's two misses, and they could have gone both ways. So, if you haven't seen the movie yet, this is going to spoil some stuff for you, but I said this to some people, and they forgot who they were. So, Warriors 3, There are three of them because there's the Warrior Three and Lady Sif. Now, the reason Lady Sif wasn't in this because Jamie Alexander has got under contract at NBC for Blind Spot. I think it's Blind Spot. Is what it's called? I think it's called Blind Spot. Is that the show she's in with all the tattoos?
I don't know.
With Sullivan Stapleton? Blind Spot?
I don't know.
You can look it up while I'm talking. So she's not in it because of contractual agreements, but that's okay. I think it would have been cool because you could have had her and Valkyrie kind of like lady it up.
Yeah, it is her. Yeah.
It's Blind Spot, right?
She plays Jane Doe.
Yeah, okay, that's the one. Okay. I think that would have been really cool. Like, you have a buddy cop between a little bit between Loki and Thor, obviously from the first two movies, as well as a little bit in this movie. Then you have the buddy cop thing between Hulk and Thor, Banner and Thor. It would have been cool to have Valkyrie have that too, because they both have that. You can see there's a little bit of like they both have this thing for Thor in a way. Valkyrie's obviously, there's a reason why, because like he's royalty. Sif is a reason why, is because he's fucking Thor. Like, I mean,
yeah,
everybody wants to touch his butt. You know what I mean? Like, it's a thing. It's, if you don't, you're denying yourself what you really think. Because Thor is like everything anybody should want. It's just a thing. It's not, doesn't make you gay. Doesn't make it just like, you're
like well, he went shirtless in that one scene in this movie, and you're like,
you get hot flashes, right? Like, your neck starts to sweat.
I was just like, God.
I was like, damn, dude, what's up, man?
Yeah,
what's going on? Like, how's it going? My name's Cody. This is Mike. He's married. Don't worry about him.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like, I think that would have been a really cool thing to have those two,
right?
Because they could have had that thing where like they're both showing off, trying to see who is better in front of Thor, but like, you could have had even a joke thrown in there where, like, Thor wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
And they're, like, doing all this, like, fucking dope-ass, badass shit, like, just taking out motherfuckers, and he's just, like, not seeing any of it. And, like, just, like, almost like they could have done a thing with, like, how they did in Lord of the Rings with Legolas
and Gimli.
And Gimli. Counting, like, counting up, you know? Yeah. They could have done that same thing, like, just trying to show off from Thor, and he didn't see any of it. Would have been amazing. With the Warriors 3, if you don't know who they are, they're the guys that got slaughtered right away. So Hela shows up through the Rainbow Bridge, literally kills two of them in like a split second. The only cool scene about that was Ray Stevenson's character, who is, I can't remember his name, but I'll tell you right now, Volstagg. He takes two knives to the chest and is still like still going. So then she takes out Zachary Levi's Fandral with two knives that he just drops. And then as she walks by, you can see Volstagg like stumbling, but not, he's like, oh, and then she throws another knife and he drops. I was like, well, they just got taken out really quickly, and they're supposed to be like the best of the best in Asgard. So it's kind of like, I get it. It demonstrates how fucking deadly she is, but it's like, you're going to show how deadly she is in a minute, because she's going to fucking slaughter an army essentially by herself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it would have been, I think it would have been cool. Like, the only one that kind of puts up a fight but doesn't even really put up a fight is Hogan, because he takes a whooping. Like, she literally slaps the shit out of him. He goes through a wall, but gets back up and tries to charge her again, and then she fucking spears him, and it was fucking,
with a huge fucking spear.
Jesus Christ. I was like, oh, yeah, he's not getting up from that one.
No.
Because there's, like, a hole the size of, like, his head through him. So that's, that. I mean, that's not good. You're not getting a sequel for sure.
He did.
You made three of them. It's fine. My thought was they should have been helping Heimdall with the Asgardian people, getting him to hide, and slowly been overrun by the army.
I will say the appearance of them was a little bit weird.
Yeah.
Like, I knew that Heimdall was gone. Like, it was a little bit of a weirdness to me, just because I didn't know that he would be gone, but they show that what's his name, Almost Human.
Say it again.
Almost Human. Carl Urban.
Yep, there you go.
Yeah, is the new Heimdall, essentially.
Yes.
You know, he doesn't have the same powers, but he controls the Bifrost.
Bifrost, yep. Scourge, by the way.
So, yeah, Scourge. So I expected him to still be there when this happened, and suddenly it was just, oh, it's them. Like, why? I guess I get it, but there's nothing said of it.
Yeah, like, it's like they're just there. Like, why? And why are both of them there?
Yes,
you know, I mean, like, I don't know. They should have all been. If anything, they should have all been with the army coming up to protect when Hela comes walking down the bridge, they all should have been leading that force.
They should have been there.
Yes, they should. All three of them should have been there.
I think to go along with what you're saying is, because I didn't have an extreme problem with it. I just had a weirdness of like, well, why are they there? Why are they suddenly the gatekeepers?
Yeah.
You know, what happened to what's his name?
Scourge ran off.
I don't know. Yeah, it was just kind of weird. But yeah, so I agree. If you're going to bring him back in a different way, it should have been in that fight right there.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then she should have killed him right then.
Exactly.
My way of doing it is, A...
And then you could see that at some point, you know, because I imagine that she just would have left the bodies there.
Yeah.
Thor could have walked across it right there.
This, and I just thought of this right now when I was talking before, you know what would have been even more devastating is if she raised them and they would have fought against him
I kept
dead
expecting
soldiers.
That as well. Like, yeah. When she talked about army...
Because that would have been devastating for him.
I thought she would kill all those guys and then bring him back as her army.
Yeah,
but
like
she
strength and army. Yeah, just using the dead over again.
But she ends up bringing back that other dead army.
Yeah, because I would have thought, like, pull a Game of Thrones and, like, yeah, you get slewed as long as you're not fucking just, like, pieces.
Yeah.
I'm going to raise you too, and you're back. You know? And that would have been devastating. And he comes back to Asgard.
And he has to fight his friends.
And he has to fucking fight his friends. Yeah. I'd have been like, yo.
That's
what my whole thing was. They should have been with Heimdall, because he essentially gave up everything for them and Thor.
Yes.
Went on the fucking lamb because he went against Odin's decree, even though Odin agreed, like, later on even thought, like, oh, I think it was a really bad choice that I made. Like, not from the first movie, from the second movie.
Yeah.
Because he was obviously, like, super distraught over his wife dying horribly. Just like, but I think it would have been good, like, the four of them would have been working together to help the people of Asgard.
Right.
And then, because they're warriors, much like Heimdall, they would have been fighting off Hela's army, and then got overrun by the dead, or, like, one of them could have gotten eaten by the fucking wolf.
Yeah.
One could have died by her hand.
Like, they'd still end up dead. It's
exactly.
Just, that
just
it wouldn't
give
be
them more
a...
of a reason to die versus just
oh, hey,
fodder.
Who are you?
Dead. Yeah, it's like, it seems like a waste. And it's also like, you didn't have to have him in there.
No.
Like, you had to, like, you had
I'm
to get
sure
them.
That most people would have forgotten about them.
Yeah. If you wouldn't have put him in there, the hardcore fans, myself, would have been like, oh, where the fuck
where the
were
fuck
they?
Are they?
But if otherwise, you could have been just like, nope. I'm out. Like, it's, I mean, we don't need to see him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. You know what I mean? Much like Lady Sif, like, she was a very big thing in the first and second movie.
But she wasn't in it at all.
But she was barely in, like, they were barely in the third in the second movie at all.
Yeah.
But she wasn't in it at all, and most people were like, wait, who?
Yeah, they're like, wasn't there a lady one?
Yeah.
Ah, whatever.
Yeah. It's like, is that the Valkyrie one? Like, is it a different actress this time? So that just really bothered me. My three favorite scenes, I should probably get back on point here.
Yeah, whatever.
I love the gladiator scene. The lead up to it, like the fight between them, finally you got to see like a real fight, not just like a sucker punch or like a little bit, because you basically got to finish the fight from the hangar bay.
Yeah.
You know, just like so satisfying, because they could have easily fucked that up.
Oh yeah.
They could easily be like one like big punch and Thor would have knocked him out, you know?
Yeah.
Or vice versa, or what did technically happen where he sees him losing, you know, and he's like, shock him, and the fucking Hulk just socks it to him. Hulk smash. Not so puny god. But I love that, just the whole build up to it, just the wackiness that is the Grandmaster's like whole thing with like the giant Ephesus tower with the guard with the champion's heads on it, which one was Beta Ray Bill. Which really just, I really hope that like what happened to him, like did he get his freedom?
Right,
you know, it was that even a choice, because like obviously Hulk was freeish to roam, but obviously you can see like when he did escape, Grandmaster wasn't happy about it, even though he was obviously a champion enough to get his face on the tower, so he should have been free. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like I think that's like a lie. Well, win your freedom. Another day, another Doug. one of by far
another funny part,
the
yes.
best lines you could have easily done. You get introduced to Doug, he's dead.
Yeah, and which the lead up to that was funny as well.
Yep.
You know, oh, Doug tried to do that. Hey, Doug, That's right. Doug's dead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know,
that was fun.
Yeah.
Funny.
It's a clever way of doing it, but it's a clever way to throw in humor when it doesn't need to have humor, but it fits really well.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like that, the changing of pace that those some of those slapstick moments happen.
Exactly.
So I like I said, I agree with you on those ones. Yes. I did find a lot of them funny, but I like, you know, I like terrible fucking humor most of the time anyways. Like today when we were talking about Load and we all giggled like five times. See? Like he still can't not laugh. This is a funny word. Load. I love the gladiator scene. I loved the visuals of the Valkyrie fighting Hela.
Dude.
We were talking about that today.
That was lunch,
dinner, whatever it was.
That was like a just watching a painting.
It was fucking gorgeous.
It was.
And it just shows you like just how much we're missing out on Thor because we don't get that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like we should, like Thor should be, I'm going to say a word that's going to make us both laugh, a period piece. Like when he's not on Earth with the other Avengers or with Jane, it should be like the first movie started and the second movie started where they're on like this another planet or another realm and they're like fighting a giant rock monster and like everyone around them is like suit of armor and samurai or whatever, right? I think they should have a whole movie that way. And this is the movie they did kind of something with the gladiators and blah, blah, blah.
But it still wasn't that.
Exactly.
You're talking about something that's steeped more in the Norse mythology.
Yeah, but in the realms.
But in different realms. Something that's not so familiar. No humans or something. Or like
no modern humans.
Modern humans or something like that.
Because when they went to where Hogan was from, if you remember everyone's least favorite Thor movie, Dark World,
right.
It starts off where Thor and the Warriors Three, along with Lady Sif, are helping this ragtag army fight against this other army.
Mm-hmm.
And you find out that's Hogan's homeworld.
Yeah.
That's the realm he comes from, because all of them come from a different realm. Not all of them are Asgardian. That's why they're not super hard to kill, obviously. But they're the best of the best, and that's why they're part of the Warriors Three.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole story behind them, by the way, if you didn't know that. Those three aren't Asgardian. They go. They live there because they're part of the Warriors Three. They've shown that they're the strongest of from their realm, and they come over. Anyways, I digress on that. You see that, and like so, you know, like, I want that. I want a Thor adventure away from the. I don't want to say trappings of the rest of the Marvel universe, but like away from everything. It's his own thing.
It's kind of like Guardians.
Yes.
The first Guardians had nothing, literally nothing to do.
Until
they mentioned the Infinity Stone, but still that was a MacGuffin for, you know, the movie. Like it just moved it along.
They needed that. Yes, it ties it to the other ones, but the actions that take place in the movie have nothing to do with Iron Man or Captain America or Thor or any of it.
It was allowed to do its own thing, and that's what would be nice here. Yep. Yes.
It's a linchpin. So the Infinity Stones are linchpin that move, that connect, interconnect all the movies. Obviously, we know that because that's what they're going towards. But just like Winter Soldier had nothing, for the most part, to do with any other movie other than Captain America, that's exactly what I want. Mm-hmm. In the first two Thor movies, they weren't really that way, but they were always it was going back to Earth.
It always ended up on Earth.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
You know, it happened in stance, like in Dark World, that the convergence, the best spot would happen to be on Earth. I'm like, really, guys?
Yeah.
Really on Earth?
Yeah.
Because really, if you think about it, it could have been one of those other places that was converging as well.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Yeah.
I digress. But I would like to see that too. So if you want to do a Valkyrie movie.
And that's what I was
Thor
saying.
Thor in it, I'm okay with it.
Even not even a movie. Let's make a TV Netflix series or something like that.
Yeah, it's fucking dope, man.
Because there literally are essentially the special forces of Asgard.
Yeah, it's fucking.
How dope would that be?
Be rad.
You could
as
even
fuck.
Bring back what's her name and just like she's rebuilding the Valkyries.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, they obviously had specialty weapons because Thor goes all
Tessa Thompson.
That's her name.
She plays Valkyrie. Yeah,
goes all nerd, you know, geek boy over that sword.
Yeah,
he's like, oh,
yeah, yep.
Yeah, I've always wanted one since I was a little boy. But you know, obviously, again, another funny part. Obviously, I've always wanted to be a Valkyrie, but you know, obviously, I can't.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, that was a really funny joke. Like,
right?
It was just like, he's so playful at that point. Like, ugh.
Mm-hmm.
So fantastic. Because it's, like, what I was, and to your point, is like, too, I was worried they were going to try to make him very Star-Lord-ish.
Yes.
But I think they did a good job not making him that way. Because, like, Star-Lord has this, like, oh, I'm Star-Lord. And he's like, expects people to know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, Thor knows, everybody knows who he is. No matter where he goes, even on Earth when he's taking those selfies with those girls.
Which was funny.
Hilarious.
And Loki just kind of is like, and he walks off to the side.
Exactly. Like, Thor has that star power that Star-Lord wants and thinks he does have because he's this outlaw.
Yeah.
And then, like, you realize, like, he doesn't.
Yeah.
And Thor's just like, he knows it. He doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, and it's confirmed even more with, like, an unknown person. Doctor Strange knows exactly who he is. And he's just like, oh, like, I don't even know who you are, and you know who I am.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, it just adds to it. So I'm really glad they did it that way. Because he was a goofball, but he was like, it was a goofball in a, like, when he needed to be, but then he was like super serious when it came to other things. Made me laugh. And the other part that made me laugh too, when we're talking about it, is like, there's a lot of these callback jokes from the movie itself.
Yeah.
Like, he kept throwing the rocks at Loki when he was the ghost, the infinite ring.
Yeah.
And then later on, he's chained up and he throws that at him and he goes, really?
Yeah.
He's like, I just wanted to check. And he does it again. I'm like, see, that's smart right there, because it's like, why? You know, how is this? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, super hilarious to me. I gave you one that I liked. I liked the Rainbow Bridge fight scene,
which was epic. I mean, for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, other than the falling flat on his face, but just like that whole thing is like super cool. I thought, with the big ship coming in, like, didn't need to be, but then like,
didn't need to be.
Like,
no,
Loki,
but
it, like, brought him back because he was good, but like, you know, and there's obviously, like, that's ultimately, like, I love the fact that, like, they didn't kill Heimdall, so he's going to be, if they do, which the director came back, said he wants to do another Thor movie.
Oh, good.
So I'm like, yes, come on.
Yeah, bring him back.
Bring him back. Let's do this. Because visually, outstanding, this fucking movie. Like, every aspect of it. The dark stuff, the bright stuff, the stuff on Earth.
I regret not seeing it in 3D a little bit.
Like, I do want to see it in
really
3D.
Good in Cine 1. Like, the audio was really good, but...
Oh, so good.
But God, just some, like, going back to the Valkyrie scene, like, to see that in 3D, oh my God.
Especially when they start to charge at her.
Yes.
And you see her in the foreground.
And to see all, like, the knives coming out. She's just throwing the knives. Oh my God. Yeah.
They did such a good job with the way she does, like, her hair. Cause, like, I thought it was a helmet.
Right. Yeah.
And then, like, you realize, like, because her body's a weapon.
Yeah.
She turns her hair into a fucking helmet of swords. And I was like,
you're like, oh.
Yo. That is so clever.
Yeah.
I was like, yes.
And you can tell when she's going to start fucking with shit, because that's exactly what she does.
She slicks it back and it's and then you can see it grow over her face. I was like, oh God, that's so good.
Yeah.
So good. And then, like, I love the flick of the wrist to get a weapon in her hand, like the axe and, like, the swords. It's not like a draw it out. Like, it's just like, all right, nonchalant, just bloop, I got this giant sword. You're like, damn, girl.
Yeah.
You hot as hell, but you sharp as a motherfucker.
Right?
You know what I mean? Like, don't fuck with Hela.
No.
Hela
don't.
Hela bad, yeah. But I love that. And it's the way she, like, throws the knives, and I was noticing, it was like, it's her fingers. Like, you see them coming out of her fingers. Like, you see her pull them up, and but, like, she's, like, just throwing them. It's just like, brink, brink. I was like, this bitch is bad. Like, damn.
Yeah.
I did like her just running through that army, though.
It was pretty badass fight.
Like, it was over in like 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And Scourge is standing there like, shit.
Right?
Like, I didn't have to do goddamn thing.
No.
Yeah.
Not cleaning up this mess. I'm just the janitor, but I'm not cleaning up this mess.
Yeah, exactly. I ain't doing this shit at all. So I think my second favorite part was the fight on the Rainbow Bridge, because it was just so fucking cool. Because, like, it did jump back and forth between different fights. And then, like, it's just like, just escalating bigger and bigger, and then, like, just handling business, and of course they show up and start helping out.
Yeah.
My third favorite scene would probably be, I think I would have to say, the scene in Hulk's room.
Right.
I think would be my third favorite part. Just because it was super funny, but also mm-hmm. like built more of the characters as is, you know? And you got to see how Hulk is essentially a child.
Right.
That doesn't care about anything other than what Hulk likes is smashing shit mm-hmm. and like fighting with Valkyrie. And like, of course, the way he talks down to Thor.
Which is
super hilarious.
And that, yeah, like I said, again, that's a funny part.
Yeah.
What does he throw through the door? He throws something at Thor and misses him. And Thor's like, well, I'm leaving. And
yeah.
hits that fucking electric field and zaps himself.
And he knows it's going to happen. So he mm-hmm. laughs. Yeah. Just and giggles.
Hulk just starts laughing his ass yeah. off.
Yeah, yeah. It makes me laugh so much.
Even down to the part where it gets a little bit more heartfelt, you know, oh, you're the dumbest Avenger.
Yeah.
And then Hulk just like, that was it. It just yep. turns him off, and he just goes sulking.
Sulking, yeah. Yep.
And Thor's like, "I'm sorry. Like,
yeah, no one called you that." Yeah, yeah. I think it would be my third favorite scene. It just makes me. There's so many parts, and I think Tim, our friend Tim, mm-hmm. who listens to the show. Hi, Tim. Said it best. Like, I think I found myself smiling through the whole thing, and I think it started with the very first scene of him in. Wherever that happens to be, the underworld or whatever. It's not really the underworld, whatever it is, where he's in the chains and he's talking to the skeleton.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember if I can think of where that was.
It just, that's like that whole thing set the tone because, like, he's being goofy by talking to the skeleton.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, how the fuck long has he been here? And then like, you realize he's just putzing around because he doesn't need to be. Like, the chains don't do shit.
Yeah.
And he shows that because he just, like, calls for, the hammer, you
yeah.
know what I mean? And the best part is, like, it's weight. He's like, hold on, I timed this wrong. Here we go. And I was like, oh, so fantastic. And that
led into an epic fight yep. right then and there at the beginning of the yeah. fucking movie.
And he starts just tearing people up, and he's like, all right, I'm out of here. And, like, he just runs over and just fucking knocks the goddamn skull loose. And I was like,
yo.
Damn!
Takes that as a fucking trophy? I mean, yeah, obviously, dude, he would have to.
Chains it to his back, and he's like, all yeah. right. He's like, let's go.
When I dip my crown into the eternal flame, he's like, crown? Oh, I thought that was horns.
Yeah, I thought that was eyebrows.
Eyebrows, that's
yeah,
what it was.
I was like, oh, yeah. fantastic. Because you realize he's there. He got himself trapped
yeah.
to find the crown.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh. And he's like, yeah, my crown. And he's like, it dawns on me, like, holy shit, like, you're wearing it.
Yeah, I thought those were your eyebrows.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's so fantastic. And yeah. then, yeah, that like that scene sets the whole tone. And, yo, did you think they were going to, like, mention how that dragon was a little too much Fing Fang Foom?
You're right.
I was like, yo, you're going to say it, right?
Yeah. Nope. No.
No, just a bleeding dragon head? You're not going to say,
yep.
just call it Fing Fang Foom? Like, just give me the fact that a Fing Fang Foom would be that, like, it was that, oh, I was like, missed opportunity.
One missed opportunity with that scene, I think, is he comes through the Bifrost. I thought, because he gets chomped right at the last second, I thought that he would come, that the head would come through.
Oh, he'd bust through, yeah.
And he'd bust through. I was like, that would have been awesome.
Yep.
But it still happened that he comes through, and then the fucking head comes through.
And splatters everywhere.
Splatters so everybody in the room. That was funny.
The hammer in the jaw, I thought, was really funny, too. When the dragon comes up and roars at him, he just dumps it, and he's like...
He did that, yeah. And I was like, oh my god, that fucking makes sense. Yeah. What the hell?
So funny.
I'm just thinking back to the Avengers movie where I'm like, he could have just, like, hold this and yep. just down.
Yep.
Right there.
Yeah. And it's like in all three movies have that scene where the hammer just gets used to help hold someone down.
Yeah.
The first movie, it's Loki. Second movie, it's Malik.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the dragon in this one, yeah, just so it's so funny because it's funny because it's hilarious, but it's just like you're like,
yeah,
god damn it, like
right?
He doesn't need to, doesn't need any of this. He's just doing, he's just beating the shit out of these dudes for fun. When he could just fly away,
yeah,
which he does. He's like, oh, this is a little too much. All right, it's going to fly away. And then like the dragon comes out, and instead of like trying to fight the dragon, he just tosses the fucking hammer down on his jaw so he can't move. I was like,
right? You're like, fuck, it makes sense.
So much sense.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm out of here, and grabs it. I was like, fucking dude. So funny. Yes, I think it's my three favorite scenes. Mike, what about you? Oh, that's right.
Oh, that's right. He's not here.
Not here, you bitch. There's a couple, if you guys don't know, a couple cool little things in there. Again, spoilery, if you haven't seen it yet, too bad. The cameo by Stan Lee was hilarious. Funny.
Yeah.
He's
the hairstylist
with the fucking buzzsaw hand.
Which was pretty funny because then it makes sense, like, why Thor's haircut actually looks pretty fucked up.
Yep, yeah.
Yeah.
Because this is fucking crazy as buzzsaw hand.
Yeah.
I thought the play, the Ode to Loki play, was pretty funny because it had Luke Hemsworth, which is Chris's older brother, playing Thor.
Yep.
It had Matt Damon playing Loki.
Which was fantastic.
Yep.
Going into the movie not knowing that.
Yes.
And just they're doing the scene, and they cut to a close-up of quote-unquote Loki, and I'm like,
wait a minute.
I look over at Mike, and Mike looks back at me, and he goes, I was like, it's fucking Matt Damon.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
Yep. Yeah. And then, of course, Sam Neill as
Odin.
Odin, yeah.
Yeah.
It just made me, like, just made me laugh.
Yeah.
I was like, damn you guys.
Right?
So good. And even that, like, that scene had tension in it, too, because then when he realizes that, oh, shit, that isn't Odin. That's got to, this all makes sense.
Yeah.
It's Loki.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a giant statue of Loki. There's a play to it. People are now adoring Loki. It's like, oh, obviously this is him.
Yeah.
You know? And the whole thing throws the hammer. And, like, he grabs him. He's like, you know, nothing stops him. Getting back to me. I was like,
yeah, right?
This is so clever.
Yeah.
He's like, you're out of your mind. I was like, yeah, it's really funny. I think that's all. And the fact that the director, whose name I will butcher every single time, he did the motion capture for, I think it's pronounced Surtur, who's the demon guy, the flaming demon guy.
Oh, okay.
So he did the motion capture for that. Clancy Brown did the voice for it.
Okay.
And then the director also did the motion capture and the voice for Korg.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's him.
That's him?
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's because he's from New Zealand as well. I thought I could have swore as soon as Korg started talking, I was like, that right there is Rhys Darby.
Mm-hmm.
Was not. Like, I was going through and I was like, and I'm missing the credits. Sure. And I was like, I'm pretty sure it was Rhys Darby and I missed it. So I had to look it up and I was like, wait, that wasn't him? And I was like, he even had like that. He sounded just like him. I was like, he's doing an impression. I was like, all right, whatever. But it was super clear, super, super hilarious.
What did you think about the little bit of a throwaway scene when Hela was walking through the armory?
Oh, yeah.
And she says that most of this is fake and just fucking hits the gauntlet and just knocks it over.
You know why,
this
right?
is fake.
You know why?
Well, because it was an Easter egg in the first Thor movie.
Yeah. And yeah, everyone sees, you know, the golden everyone gauntlet sees back
it,
there. Yeah.
And they're like, oh, that's the Infinity Gauntlet, and you've already established it. Well, now you're coming out with the movie,
yep.
Which you see the gauntlet, if I recall right, has all the
has stones, all six Infinity Stones in it. Yeah, that's why you know it's fake, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, plus we know that Thanos has it.
Yes.
Because of the end of
mm-hmm.
Guardians 1? Is when he pulls it out? No.
No, I think it was something else.
One of the movies,
they do show
Thanos. He puts his hand in the gauntlet and pulls it out, and it doesn't have any gem. It doesn't have any Infinity Stones on it. But yes, I think it's funny because it's like this gaudy gold glove that looks just like the one from the cover of the comic book Infinity War. And she goes fake and just knocks it over. Sure. I was like, oh, and then she eyeballs the Tesseract. She goes, ooh, and I was like,
yeah.
But you have no idea.
Right?
That is an Infinity Stone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Made me giggle a lot.
But I like that they retconned that. That they went, you know, it's well, not retconned, but they basically fixed that. Like, it became too prominent in the original
movie
that holy, Asgard has the Infinity Gauntlet, but they really don't have it.
Yeah, I thought it was really fun. Like, it was just a clever callback to it, but also to tell you, like, no, they don't have it. The red herring the entire fucking time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That just shows you, like, that's the continuity they've built is just so deep that they can do that sort of stuff. And the fact that she walks past one of the Infinity Stones, his eyeballs like, ooh, and then just walks past it. I was like, see? And then they're like, you're like, what could she possibly be doing? And then she's like, none of these matter. I'm the most powerful weapon here. Mm-hmm. I just need an army. Mm-hmm. I was like, bitch, you literally can make anybody an army with the Tesseract.
Yeah, right?
I was like, all right, that's fucking dope. So yeah, I think that's it.
What was the stinger scene at the end? I'm trying to remember.
It was Thanos' ship in front of.
Okay, so that's what that was.
Yeah.
Because obviously, you know, sitting in the theater, you could hear people going, "What's that?" And I was like that. That looks like a whatchamacallit from Guardians.
That's, yeah, it's Thanos' ship. Guardian.
That's Thanos.
I thought it was going to be a Reaver ship. One of the Reaver ships.
One of the Reavers.
Because there's so many of them. I was like, oh, it's going to be it, right? You know? But then it didn't do anything. I was like, oh. And then it was later confirmed by the director that it was Thanos' ship.
Thanos himself.
Because super spoiler here, by the way. If you don't know this, I'm sorry I'm spoiling it for you, but I'm warning you right now. If you do not want a spoiler for Infinity War, turn this off right now. That was your warning. The way Thor gets brought into the Infinity War isn't he doesn't go back to Earth. He actually gets teamed up with Guardians because he slams into their ship when they're flying through space. He hits the windshield.
Really?
Yes. So whatever happens, Thanos does something, either destroys that ship, which...
I'd imagine he captures the ship and of the last of the Asgardians captured.
But somehow Thor gets thrown into space... And is then teamed up with the Guardians because he hits the ship. So if you've seen the leaked footage that is super hard to find now on the internet from Comic-Con, that is one of the scenes you see. Is you see Thor literally face plant on the front of the windshield of the new ship they have, the Reaver ship they have.
Interesting.
Yes. So that's how. Because from what I've read, and it makes sense. All the groups that they form in Infinity War all have to do with each other. What I mean by that is Iron Man's got his clique. Mm-hmm. Captain America's got his outlaw clique. Guardians are people from space, which would include Thor.
Definitely, yes.
So that sort of thing. And then you have the Misfits, which are going to be like Strange and Spider-Man. But they're going to be with Tony because his like little group of new Avengers are just made up of like everybody he could just scrounge together.
Right.
And so that's exactly what happens.
It's
a little spoiler, by the way.
How's Hulk come into it?
Is
he brought back with the Guardians?
It says we don't know. Because remember, up until the first trailer for Thor, which we didn't have at the time, we didn't know he was in it. Because it was confirmed at Comic-Con that he was in it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like, oh shit, he's in Thor. And this we don't know. But I do know that Black Widow is with Cap because she's blonde. Cap has a beard. Spider-Man has the new suit. Ant-Man has a new suit, but we already know that because we've seen the pictures from Ant-Man Wasp.
Yeah.
Wasp is there, obviously. There's one other one, too. Oh, and Bucky's back.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's about it, I think.
Yeah, that is.
The other stuff, yeah, you can wait for next week.
Okay.
So, that's officially, what were we at?
We're at 54. We've got a couple minutes left that we can go over some news if you want.
Was there anything pressing? Anything great?
No, there's a lot of depressing things.
Yeah. Let's stay away from that shit.
Yeah.
Bum, 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 bum. The guy who wrote Jurassic World is writing the Metal Gear Solid movie.
Interesting. We want to go over the Disney stuff next week? Because that was a lot of shit. That
yeah, because we can talk with Mike on that one. Hopefully he'll be here. Yeah. Next, well, no, we won't have.
Oh, that's right. No.
Avengers will be the week after.
Yeah, it'll be the week after.
Because we will record the day before Avengers, or before Justice League. No, man, I don't think there's anything. Nothing crazy that's good, like, that I want to talk about. There's terrible shit to talk about, but record-breaking video game sales. Call of Duty World War II sold $500 million in global sales.
Of course, it's
doubles Call of Duty from last year.
I was gonna say, what's your opinion of the Xbox One X?
From the little bit I got to play at my house, actual house, it's fucking phenomenal.
Because yeah, I just picked mine up today.
Yep.
Well, when I say today,
this today, will be Wednesday.
Wednesday when we're recording.
Yep.
Obviously, you work at a place that has ones on display that you can actually play with.
Yes. And I've only on actual X hardware. I have played Forza 7, which looks fucking stupidly real.
And that's what they had playing
on the in the lounge. Yeah,
in the lounge. Front,
yeah. It's just fucking gorgeous. Like the weather, like real weather shit, like it is nuts.
Yeah.
I watched them play NBA, but I don't think that was in 4K. I think it was enhanced.
That was the one in the back of the store?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Mike and I were playing that one. I will say, like, the court and everything, the actual, like, the more solid pieces looked...
The characters still look wonky.
Characters still look wonky, but... Everything else looked gorgeous on that. I didn't even know it was the 1X that it was playing on.
Yeah. Yeah, we have two live units in the store now. We have the one in the lounge, and we have the one back there. That one's permanent. That one's eventually going to have dedicated seats for it, so you can sit down. That's why the TV's lower.
You say permanent. Hopefully it permanently works.
Going forward. Yeah, whatever
problem that was.
There's supposed to be a box there's a box hooked to it. That keeps it, cycles it on, like keeps it on so that it goes to screensaver, but it didn't work.
Mm-mm, no.
So it just shuts itself off.
I literally thought somebody was fucking with me at one point.
Yeah.
And then Mike turns to me and goes, Cody's doing this, right? Like he's just somewhere in the store. He's just fucking with us, right?
That sounds like something I would do.
Yeah. Turn TV off, turn it back on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or cycle the source or whatever it was.
Yeah. Yeah. It's I don't know. We're like, yo, like, this isn't working. And it's supposed to be. And everybody's like, oh, it's flawless in every other store. I'm like, well, we got a bunk-ass box then.
Yeah, you definitely did.
Yeah, man, I think it's... Talk about the Disney thing next week.
What were the titles? You listed them off last night that got the 4K bump. You had...
Microsoft first-party games. You have Gears of War...
And is that Gears of War 4?
4, yes.
I haven't played that one
yet. And then Gears of War 1 through 3, including Judgment, I think, have enhanced.
Okay.
So they will have upscaling, which makes them actually look really good, too. But Gears of War 4 in fucking 4K. We saw
how was E3. The story on 4? Because, like I said, I haven't played
it. It was good. It was good. I mean, it's not happy, just so you know. All the other Gears of War, like if you think any of the Gears of War games have happy stories,
no, they don't.
Something's wrong with you.
Yeah.
And B, 3 has the happiest ending of all.
3 was depressing as hell.
Yes, and that's the happiest one of all of them.
Fuck, dude.
Yeah. 4's really fun because there's a lot of different game mechanics in it, like the driving the bike thing, and it looks stupidly good in 4K.
Mm-hmm.
So Forza Cuphead actually has a 4K upgrade.
What?
Yeah, it looks fucking amazing. Minecraft's update, right now it's enhanced, but with the super duper graphics pack that comes out this month, I think, gets all new graphics. I know it sounds really stupid. Yeah. So they're releasing there are two big updates. I think one is already out for Minecraft. I don't play it, so I'm not too sure. One is the better with others or better with everyone, which is like
the online
player. You get to like build your own little world and everyone can join you and stuff. Yeah. Build your own little like Minecraft area. Very, very Fortnite-ish.
Yeah.
That whole fucking weird build your own space thing is going to blow up in a weird way. But the super duper graphic pack actually adds new textures and they're getting real water effects and real textures to things like metal and gold that'll glint in the sun. So if you're holding or sitting in something in daylight, if you shift, the sun will react differently to your angle, just like in real, like real fucking life.
Right.
But the water is unbelievable.
Okay.
Like when we saw it, I was like, "You guys are fucking with me, right? Like this is a thing." Like we saw behind closed doors. They showed it off at the E3 press conference. We saw it up close behind closed doors last year. And when I say it wasn't super special, it's just like a thing you can go to behind closed doors. Not because we work for Microsoft and we're super special. It's just that there was a thing you could do and it was very limited to get into. Yes. So that's what's behind closed doors, because you can just, you couldn't just walk up and look at it. And it was, I was like, yo, like, damn.
Yeah.
It's still blocky. Like everything was blocky, but the textures of stuff looked like sand, looked like water, looked like gold, looked like metal. I was like, y'all motherfuckers ain't messing around.
Interesting.
Like, it was crazy.
All right.
But if you go to Xbox.com right now, the first thing you'll see is a big banner for Xbox One X. If you click on it and then you go down the list, it'll show all of our first-party games, which is pretty much ReCore, Gears of War 4, Forza 7, Forza Horizon 3, I believe, as well as on there. Quantum Break, which is the game looked really good before. 4K looks even fucking better, but that download is stupidly big. 121 gigabytes.
It essentially doubles.
Yes. It's fucking retarded. So I'm gonna tell you right now, this is a warning to anybody who's thinking about getting an Xbox One X. If you own more than 10 games that will have an enhanced or 4K upgrade, you will run out of space right away. They're all almost over 100 gigs. Most of our first party games are over 100 gigs, which means you will get less than 9 of those games downloaded, because you get like literally 8 of those games will be 800 gigs plus the extras. You will barely get a 9th game, maybe not even a 9th game.
Jeez.
That's how, and because they all come with a terabyte of hard drive space.
They do.
You're going to run out. So get an external hard drive. This is what I tell everybody. Every time you buy something, if you're not going to play it right away, put it on an external drive. Make your main drive your like your go-to. But you can't do that back and forth. So make your external drive your, like, this is where you download to. Then whatever game you're playing, move to the internal hard drive and run on it, because it's run better. You don't have to worry about the delay and like that way. And just use the external literally as a storage. But you have to make it your go-to drive, because otherwise you keep moving shit back and forth and your drive will end up being full. And your performance will be much better. That's what I do on my S, and it's fucking way better.
Nice.
Because if you get a nice external hard drive, it runs really quick, but you still have to that delay, because it goes from one drive through a cable versus being plugged right into the motherboard or system board, because it's not really a motherboard, because it's just one.
Semantics.
So yeah, definitely invest in an external hard drive. You can get them stupidly cheap now.
Really can.
Like we, like at my store, which we don't have good prices on some of our accessories are stupidly priced, hard drives especially. We have a an 8 terabyte external hard drive for $100.
Yeah. I've seen
8 terabytes. Are you fucking kidding me?
Bestbuy.com, we sell like 10 to 14 terabyte drives.
I believe it's a Western Digital. It might be a Seagate. I can't remember which brand it is.
Yeah.
But I was like, 8 terabytes. And then I looked at it, I was like, well, that's 80 games. So you're going to fill it up pretty quickly. Less than 80 games, technically.
Why do you keep those installed on your console?
Dude, I don't know. Like, I didn't realize I had so many on there, but then I forgot it. My S is a 2 terabyte because I bought the limited edition one. And I was like, oh my God, why do I have so much shit on here? Because I remember when I set it up, I didn't change my external drive back to my main drive. It was my secondary drive. So everything was downloading to my S. And I was like, oh. So I went to go switch everything over the other day. And I was like, I really want to play Destiny, but I want to switch everything. So I was like, I'll wait. Yeah, I shouldn't have waited, because I didn't get a chance to play shit yesterday.
Yeah.
I got 30 minutes of gameplay, and it wasn't even on a game that was enhanced yet, because it was Destiny, which doesn't have a upgrade or enhancement yet, because Sony's exclusive rights.
May not ever, yeah. Stupid.
So dumb. We were told it's going to get 4K and 30 frames per second, but we don't know when that's going to fucking happen. I will say this, though. This will be the last thing I talk about. If you haven't seen Destiny running on PC on Ultra Graphics 4K 60 frames per second, you have not seen Destiny 2.
Really?
Holy shit. The draw distance on that shit, mind-boggling.
Wow.
It is gorgeous. Like, I watched a video in 4K at 60 frames on my Apple TV, my 4K Apple TV, of this dude was doing a graphics comparison between, like, the Xbox Pro, the One, which really, to me, you couldn't really tell the difference, by the way, and then the PC. And I was like, yo, so don't show me Destiny 1, because I'm pretty sure that's what you showed me on the PlayStation and the Xbox. Oh, it's the same game? Well, it's bullshit. He's just standing there. It's his guardian with his ghost out, and he's circling around himself. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what the fuck, man? You could see reflections of the environment on the ghost shell.
Damn.
I was like, does that happen? And sure enough, I looked on mine that doesn't have four, like on my S, and you can actually see it. Like, when he does it, you'll see the ghost has, I was like, that's a thing.
That's gnarly.
Because he was on the tower. Because the only place you can be third person with your ghost out. Otherwise, it's just your ghost is facing in the same way.
Yeah.
And it's blurry-ish. Because all the heads up display comes up. But like, it's the only time you can see it. So he pulls it up, and I was like, "Oh yeah, no, that's fucking gnarly." It was ridiculous.
Nice
puddles. Like there were like because there's these like, weird standing puddles all over the tower, and you just like see reflections of the mountains and shit. I was like, god damn, it was ridiculous. I can't imagine gameplay just fucking gotta be stupid,
right?
I was just, man, like, well, I can't imagine what fucking Titan looks like with all that water.
Oh my god,
everywhere.
Well, I'm sold.
Yeah, dude, it was ridiculous. I can't wait for that fucking 4K upgrade on the One for sure. But yeah, if you're a PC gamer, A, you don't have Destiny, that's something wrong with you. Because that game's fucking phenomenal. And it is. If you have a really good PC and you have the ability to do 4K, yo.
Do it.
Do it. It's so legit.
Yeah.
I think it's the best looking game I have ever seen.
Really?
Yeah. On a PC. Like, easily.
Okay.
Easily.
It's been a long time since I've seen PC games.
Up until that, you know what, oddly enough, was like one of the most gorgeous games I've ever seen in ultra settings? Doom.
Really?
It's a really dark game, but there's a weird, crazy amount of textures in that game. And
we're talking about the new one that just came out.
Yeah, Doom. The new one. Unbelievable on Ultra. A, game moves way too fast for a human being to actually play.
Mm-hmm.
So don't put it on like whatever that like hardcore mode is or whatever, like I'm dumb mode, because like one of the monsters breathes on you, die.
Right.
But like Ultra level graphics, though, I was like, god damn. Like, you shoot one of them explodes in chunks. Every chunk's like a different size every time.
Damn.
Because it's all, like, because they built the game with real physics.
Uh-huh.
So everything has real physics. That's why you bounce around all the time. Ridiculous. You can see the shine on a rocket.
Nice.
It's dumb. I was like, why does this look so good? This is Doom. Like, yeah. Doom's not supposed to look good.
No.
Thank you, it does. But, like, I was like, all right, Bethesda. Whipping that fucking dick around.
Right.
Stupid. By the way, Fallout 4 in VR is dumb.
Really?
It's so hard.
I imagine it would be.
Because you don't control like a normal game. You have to do like, it's, yeah. It looks cool because it's all fucking virtual and you can look around. But yeah, controls on VR games are still terrible.
I'd imagine.
For open world games, like the stand in one spot, like Raw Data or Robo Recall, where you're just like, you're kind of stationary, you kind of warp to different places, it's perfectly fine because you can look around and shit. But otherwise, like, they still need to work on the whole control system.
Yeah.
Many years ago when I played The Rift, and again, I know I said a minute ago we're going to talk about Wars, but oh well, fuck you guys. I think it was E3, like, no, because I didn't start going back to E3 until I got to Microsoft. Must have been CES, like, 5 years ago.
Damn.
When Rift wasn't owned by Facebook at that point, it was just still Oculus. They did a thing with Valve where they had a build of Team Fortress 2.
Right.
And they had like 9 or 10 or even 12 different control schemes. Mm-hmm. One almost made me throw my lunch, because like you had to like look where you wanted to move, and I was like, I can't point. I'm like, I can't do, my hands and my brain don't work this way.
Yeah.
But one of the best ones is wherever you looked is where you aimed. So it wasn't disjointed from your hands. So, like, I tell everybody if it's like true first person. Because mm-hmm. like wherever you looked, that's where your gun was pointing, and then your movements were all done by using the Xbox controller or the touch controllers if you have them, and that's how you move back, forth, left, and right. And you if you wanted to look, just like, and I attribute to anybody who plays it on a PC or with a mouse, that's how it works. The mouse is your movement of your head. That's also your reticle. That's where you, whatever you're looking at, that's where you shoot.
Right.
And it was flawless. It was really easy to control. It took a little while to get your timing going because the one we were playing was a rig. You actually had to walk, which is fucking terrible. I never want to exercise in a real game. It was this pod where you're in this harness, and you had to like walk, and your feet slid, and the movement of your feet actually made your character go fast.
Oh, you were on one of those weird...
Horrible.
Frictionless treadmills.
You want to feel out of shape? Mm-hmm. Yeah, frictionless treadmill. Ruin your life. Like, I'm never going to tell anybody, like, oh, I'm in really good shape. I'm never going to be that way.
I'm not going to lie.
I was kind of would want something fucking like winded as balls after like 10 minutes.
I mean, just imagine like...
Because you had to duck. To duck in the game, you had to duck.
Yeah.
But to run, you had like, to run. I was like,
imagine
you, man.
Playing The Division like that.
No!
You're just wandering around the streets. You're walking around Manhattan and you're just shooting the enemies.
No, I don't want to walk in real life.
I would totally do
that. I want to stand still, look around, shoot whatever I look at, and then move with my joysticks. That's what I want to do.
I totally want to do that.
So when I switched to that mode, I was like, yeah.
I'm going to go for a jog today through Manhattan as I shoot enemies.
Yeah, whatever, man. You exercise. I'm fat and stupid.
It'd be fun to me.
Yeah, it would be, psycho. And on that point, comes naturally, we are
Joe.
And I am Cody. As usual, you fuckers just came naturally.
Yeah.
Oh, we had another, like, 15 minutes.